Through the solemn consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we want to pray this in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Okay, so for all mankind. So we'll just pray in your hearts, O Most Holy Virgin Mary, tender Mother of men, to fulfill the desires of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the request of the Vicar of your Son on earth. We consecrate ourselves and our families to your sorrowful and Immaculate Heart. O Queen of the Most Holy Rosary, we recommend to you all the people of our country and of all the world. Please accept our consecration, dearest Mother, and use us as you wish to accomplish your designs in the world. O sorrowful and Immaculate Heart of Mary, Queen of the Most Holy Rosary and Queen of the world, rule over us together with the Sacred Heart of Jesus, our King. Save us from the spreading flood of modern paganism. Enkindle in our hearts and homes the love of purity, practice of the virtuous life, and an ardent zeal for souls and a desire to pray the Holy Rosary more faithfully. We come with confidence to you, O Throne of Grace and Mother of Fair Love. Inflame us with the same divine fire which has inflamed your own sorrowful and immaculate heart. Make our hearts and homes your shrine, and through us make the heart of Jesus, together with you, rule triumphantly in every heart and home of the world, so that the whole most holy divine will may reign on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we'll close the door.
Thank you.
We don't want anybody to hear what's happening in here. It might scare everybody. Well, one thing, I know some people were kind of confused by what I said at Mass. And when I said that Luisa was the greatest secret, it's not greater than the Holy Eucharist, of course. It's not greater than Mary, but it's the greatest secret that we have today. No one knows about Luisa, and Jesus wants it that way at this point, because he needs us to begin to live this life. Nobody will live it fully. The first one who will live this life fully will be the Holy Father. So just so that you know, God needs us to give our fiat so that the kingdom can be established, okay? So this is really the greatest secret of our time. It's not... again, can you just imagine if St. Francis was alive or St. Clare was alive or St. Teresa of Avila was alive? I mean, they would be wanting this life because everything that they have taught us is what they learned in a holy way, a human way, a saintly way, but a human manner. And now God wants to let us share in his divine will, to really share his life. So, again, how glorious this is. I was going to say something about Father Bucci. He's a riot to be around, that guy. He's really just filled with... filled with life. He really wants to, this is one of the things he's planning. He would like to bring unity to all the groups throughout the world. There's many, many prayer groups, and, you know, there's many divisions at this point because, you know, like remember with the I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, you know, this is Jesus. The divine will is Jesus' gift to us. It's Our Lady's gift to us. Luis is the gift to the world, and we all want to cooperate with this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So this is what Father Bucci wants to do. He wants to try to pull everybody together so that, you know, there's no more, you know, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos type thing. But we all want Jesus to reign. So we're going to start on page 16, volume 13, 9-21. 16, yes, bottom of page 16. And Luisa begins, I was lamenting to my sweet Jesus because of these blessed writings, which they want to put out. Okay, so Luisa never wanted anybody to know what Jesus was writing to her. It was having her dictate. She was putting down on paper. Luisa says, I am nobody, I am nothing, I don't want anybody to know what I'm writing. Today, it's just the opposite. Anybody who has a supposed locution, they're publishing it in the newspaper. You know, this is what Jesus says. This is what Mary says. Everybody's going, Luisa wanted none of this. And it was only under holy obedience
and the pain of suffering, hell, that she wrote everything down. And she, the times she would say, I cannot say anything more because it would sound so ridiculous. Well, what we have here is the intimacy of Jesus and Mary with Louisa. Now, this is not a romantic intimacy. It's a, like we heard about Father Bucci said that the baby Jesus came alive when Gemma saw that, and she was holding the baby Jesus, kissing baby Jesus. It's a mother kissing their child. When Jesus holds Louisa, it's a father kissing his little daughter. It's there's such love, there's such intimacy. See, it's like we said before, this is not to know about Jesus, but to know Jesus intimately as Adam knew Eve intimately. And again, God wants us to recognize that the kingdom of heaven is like a wedding feast. This possession is what God wants us to have. He wants to possess us, and he wants us to possess him. So here she is talking about these writings, and she says that they want to put out. And I felt as if I wanted to withdraw from his holy divine will, and my sweet Jesus told me, my daughter, what? You want to withdraw from my holy divine will? And then he says, too late. And it's the same thing with us. When we say yes to Jesus, I want to live in your divine will. When we say it with our whole heart, mind, and soul, God has captured us. He needs our fiat. He needs our yes. And yes, we will sin. We will fall out of the divine will. But Jesus says immediately, you know, if it's not mortal sin, say to Jesus, I'm sorry, I want to re-enter into your divine will. And instantaneously, you're in the divine will again. And again, if it's mortal sin, you go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. And I would highly recommend confession every week for anybody who wants to live in the divine will. You have to go through your life every day like with a fine-tooth comb. You have to get rid of every imperfection. It takes great struggle and courage to begin to live in the divine will, because you can't be soft on yourself. You know, in Opus Sanctorum Angelorum, the work of the holy angels, they say to the angels, beat me as you would a stubborn mule. Get me back to Jesus. You have to be, a lot of the spiritual directors are very tough because they're very tough on themselves. They have to force themselves to do this. Even in religious life, you do your prayers whether you want to or not. You know, you struggle with that wanting to do your miserable human will and surrendering. And it's in all things. In religious life, you're obedient to your superior. The priestly life, you're obedient to your bishop. The married life, you're obedient to your spouse. That's true. I say to the husbands, if you want to know what the Holy Spirit is saying, listen to your wife. Listen to her, because the Holy Spirit will speak to her. Okay? Wives, if you want to hear the Lord, what the Lord wants, obey your husband. Listen to him. And again, it's total submission, total surrender. And that's the beginning of living in the divine will. Living in the divine will is saying to God, let you have your way with me. Do with me what you will. I'm not in charge of my life anymore. You are in charge. I want your will to reign in me. That's what Our Lady said when she said, I am the slave girl of the Lord. I am the humbled maidservant of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you say. Jesus to his Father, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Louisa learned this, and again, Jesus said to her, obey your spiritual director. And her spiritual director said, write down what Jesus is telling you under the pain of sin. And this is what she did. So again, too late. After you have bound yourself within my divine will has bound you with double chains to itself in order to keep you safer. And you have lived as a queen in my divine will. You have accustomed yourself to living with the most delicate and nourishing foods, indomitable by anyone and dominator of all, even of yourself. So here again, God wants complete surrender. He says, I have a food that you do not know of. And that is to not only do the will of God, but live in the will of God. So there's three breads Jesus teaches Louisa. The third bread is the wonder bread that you get in the supermarket. The second bread is the super substantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. And the first bread is the bread of the divine will, the bread that Adam ate. So with the second bread, the super substantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, you receive Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. And for 15 minutes, Jesus is within you. In the real presence of Jesus in a mystical way. And he is there. And that's why the church ends Mass right after Holy Communion. Right after Holy Communion, there's the final prayer, final blessing, and it's over. Why? The church does not want to interfere with your communion with God. And this is our time. Again, silence. 15 minutes until the host dissolves. Some saints say 20 minutes. And what happens is you adore God, you love God, you praise God, you thank God, you glorify God, you truly worship God. You fall in love with God more today than yesterday. You fall in love with God more tomorrow than today. It's to be in love with Jesus, to fall in love with Jesus, to grow into a deeper love with Jesus. And then now he says, I want to give you the first bread. The first bread is a perennial communion with God. As Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening, now Jesus wants us to walk and talk with him all day long, to be in communion with God all day long. That's why when St. Paul says pray continuously, people go, how can I pray continuously? Well, once you learn the divine will, every heartbeat, every breath, every step, every gaze, every blink of your eye, everything is adoring God, loving God, praising God, thanking God, glorifying God, worshiping God. For in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. And it's an explosion of I love yous to the throne of God. Our God really begins to let us live in Eden. And remember, Eden in Hebrew means pleasure. We have a place of pleasure where everything is perfect. And when we look for earthly pleasure, we end up in hell. What God is looking for is us to surrender to him so that he can give us this divine life forever. It's the preternatural life that God wants us to begin to live. And none of the saints, that's why Father Bucci says, Louisa is unique. There's no one like Louisa. Now we have Jesus, the Son of God, Mary, the Mother of God. I mean, they're perfect. Louisa is a human like us. Yet, what Jesus has done with Louisa is he's given her this life that Adam should have given us. And since Adam failed, Jesus comes to earth, Mary comes to earth, the Son of God, the Mother of God, to begin again the human generations. So the redemption isn't just to continue to live like this. The redemption, Jesus says, in his thought was to bring about the divine will, to bring about the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, to bring us back to the place where we were before the fall. And that's what Jesus says. It's going to look as if this is what's coming. This is why the devil is going to be so humiliated. He's going to go to the pit of hell with his tail between his legs because he's going to see that it's going to look as if Adam never sinned. Our lives are going to be repaired. And that's the prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. The reason I say that is because Adam had the Catholic life. He had the universal life. And in volume 24, Jesus says the Jews will be converted to the Catholic life. Then all Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, Protestants will become Catholic. Because this is the universal life that God breathed into Adam. That's why Jesus came to start his faith, his church again, because it's Catholic, it's universal. And so, if one, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics, enkindle in us the fire of your love, which is the divine will, send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. That's what's happening with the divine will. God is perfecting us. Jesus says, you must be perfected as my Heavenly Father is perfect. This is what God is doing as you're reading. As you begin to read the words that the Word of God dictated, they have such power in them that your life can never be the same. And as you read the book of heaven, how glorious it is. How glorious it is. Our God wants us to begin to understand this great love. So come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics, enkindle us the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your Spirit, and we will be recreated. And then you will renew the face of the earth through us. So we're called to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. The devil is going to be so humiliated that he is going to see how God is going to win. God is going to be victorious. It's the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It's the Eucharistic reign of Jesus. And the Eucharistic reign of Jesus isn't kneeling in front of the Blessed Sacrament, adoring God. The Eucharistic reign of Jesus is what Jesus revealed to St. Faustina. He said to Faustina, you have to become a living host. What Jesus teaches Louisa in volume 15 and volume 16 is how to become a living host. Okay, so what does that mean? For the last 2,000 years, we've been feeding on Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, the second bread. And now Jesus says, I want to feed on you. You have fed, I have fed you, now I want you to feed me. This is what Our Lady did. She fed the Son of God. This is why what's coming is so beautiful. What's coming is so unbelievable that we are going to rejoice about this for all eternity. God is so humble that he comes to us as a little baby. God is so humble that he wants to be held. So when the Pope holds the baby Jesus on Christmas, this is a sign for all of us. All of us should be holding the baby Jesus at Christmas. Kissing the baby Jesus at Christmas. Loving the baby Jesus at Christmas. You know, when Our Lady holds Jesus at the crucifixion, because it's a sign to us that he still wants to be held. He wants to be loved. So our job is to really begin to have this intimacy with Jesus. He's not 1,000 million miles away. He wants to reign in us. So he says to Louisa in volume 15 and 16, I am calling you to become a living host. So the Eucharistic reign of Jesus is going to be within us. He says to Louisa, you must become my skin. I must reign in you. I want to breathe in your breathing. I want to beat in your heart beating. I want to gaze in your gazing. I want to dance in your dancing. I want to do everything with you. I want you to experience my life reigning in you. So when you say, Jesus, breathe in my breathing, and you take a deep breath, that is Jesus. He takes us at our word. The Lord is so in love with us that he really wants us to let him be Lord of our life. He wants to reign in us. He wants to clothe us with divinity. Adam, when he lost the divine will, he was naked. God wants to reclothe us with divinity. So he needs us to cooperate with him. He needs us to surrender. So that's why he says, Louisa, you live with the most delicate and nourishing foods. He says very clearly, you are used to living with all the comforts. You are used to being immersed in immense riches. See, that's the divine will. And as you begin to read, nothing can be the same for you. The things of the earth are meaningless. As Paul says there, you know, they're nothing compared to who Jesus is. So as we begin to live this life with Jesus, the things of the world start falling away from us. It becomes water off a duck's back. Our God wants us to begin to live a life that has never been seen since Adam left the divine will. Never been seen since Jesus and Mary were on earth. This is not a saintly life. This is not a good life. This is not a holy life. This is the life of Jesus. That's why when you listen to Father Bucci, he He surprises us sometimes when he says, no one, no saint can compare to Louisa. Now, I remember when we were in Ireland, one of the persons said, you know, Louisa's greater than St. Patrick. Well, we had to run for our lives. You know, you don't say that in Ireland. Louisa is this is why, as you get to know Louisa, everything becomes beautiful. Everything becomes holy. Everything becomes saintly, because then God is leading us beyond that. See, God wants more for us. He wants us to begin to live His life. And he takes us at our word. So when you wake up in the morning, you do your prevenient act, and you say, for every heartbeat, every thought, word, and deed, every breath that I take, be done in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, all for the glory of God, sanctification of souls, that the kingdom be established on earth as it is in heaven. That is, at that point, 21 billion I love yous to God. For every heartbeat. For every breath. I mean, it's an explosion of I love you. This is why it's not going to take many to live in the divine will. You know, as you begin to pray this, as this becomes your life, the devil is being forced out. He's been forced out of heaven, and we're calling heaven to earth. He's being forced out of earth because heaven is coming. The kingdom is coming. It's the fulfillment of the Our Father. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus says, Louisa, if you go out of my divine will, you would notice immediately that as soon as you go out of my divine will, you will feel misery, coldness, and the lost dominion. All goods will disappear from you. From queen, you will become the most miserable servant. So you yourself, upon feeling the great contrast which exists between living in my divine will and going out of the divine will plunge yourself even more into the depths of my divine will. This is why I say to you, too late. And then you would take a great contentment away from me, Jesus. So here, and that's what happens. I've seen people leave the divine will and they're miserable. They just say, I don't want this. I want to be a saint. I want to be good. I want to be holy. I want to pray my prayers. I love the prayers of St. Teresa, and I'm going to stick to them. I'm not going to change. God says, fine. You know, you can be a great saint, but you can't live in the divine will. See, God looks for the fiat. And if we give our fiat, how glorious that is. So he says, you must know, and this is always underlined and highlighted, because this is what Jesus is commanding us. See, this isn't just a novel. Jesus is teaching us truths that he needs us to say yes to. So he says, you must know this, that I, God, acted with you as a king who begins to love a friend and who is very dissimilar from him in status. But his love is so great that he has decided to make himself similar to himself. Now this king cannot do everything at once and render his friend like himself. Rather, he does it little by little. First, he prepares a royal palace for him, similar to his own. Then he sends the adornments to decorate the royal palace. He forms a little army for him. And then he gives him half of his kingdom so as to be able to say, what you possess, I possess. King am I. King are you. However, each time the king would give him his gift, he would look at his faithfulness, and giving the gift would be for him an occasion for a new contentment, greater glory and honor for himself, and a new feast. And if the king had wanted to give to his friend all at once that which he had given him little by little, he would have been embarrassed his friend, because he was not trained to be able to dominate, but little by little, as though faithfulness he has been instructed, so everything is easy for him. So that's our gift, little by little. This is how God works with us, little by little. Jesus says, for example, if you have a brand new car, you don't give keys to a 3-year-old and said, hey, have a great life. No, it's like, okay, little by little, you have to grow, you have to become aware, you have to become responsible, and then you have to learn how to drive. By the time, 16, 20 years goes by, then the person can drive. Okay? It's the same thing with the divine will. As you begin to read this, as you begin to study this, God really begins to teach us how to live this life. And again, all of us are rough. All of us are blocks of marble that God's trying to smooth. And he's chipping away. Sometimes, you know, difficulties happen to us. Physical, spiritual, mental, emotional difficulties happen. And that's Jesus chipping the stones away, sanding us, smoothing us out, making us a beautiful a piece of work. And this is why it's so important that we allow God to work little by little. If you've ever worked with wood, you don't go against the grain when you're chiseling. You can crack the whole thing. If you ever work with a stone, you don't take big chunks off at first because you could crack it right in half. So it's everything's little by little. And this is what's so great. As you begin your prevenient acts, as you do your actual acts, as you really begin to grow in the knowledge of the divine will, as Father Bucci said, read 1 through 10 and don't race through it. You know, you just 1 through 10 and you learn how to become a saint, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. And then you read 11 through 19, you learn how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And little by little, what God is doing is he's teaching you. You're tasting these truths. They're such beautiful delights for the soul. Then when you get to 20 to 36, then Jesus shows you how to live, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. And again, how beautiful this is. Because it's not a holy life, a saintly life, a good life. It really becomes a divine life of Jesus. And like I said before, what God is going to do, how he's going to astonish the world, he's going to astonish the world of this great blessing. Like when the time of illumination of conscience comes to the earth, people, everyone's going to say, Louisa, who is she? What is this great gift of the divine will? Let me know about this. And by that time, hopefully, we will be able to teach people how what it means to live in the divine will. Lead people to this abundant life of Jesus and Mary. See, it's St. Louis de Montfort was he taught us to go to Jesus through Mary. Now, Louisa teaches us to go to Jesus, or Jesus teaches us to go to Jesus and Mary through Louisa. It's if you love Jesus, how much more are you going to love Jesus when you read what Jesus teaches Louisa? If you love Mary, wait till you hear the prodigies of our Blessed Mother. Jesus says, and this Father Abuji talked about this. He says, as the Son of God, as the Son of Mary, I am the only one that can tell you the depth of her beauty. And he does. And as you read this, you go, Our Lady is so beautiful. Our Lady is the Mother of God, Theotokos. How great she is. No, it's to fall in love with Louisa is to fall more in love with Jesus, more in love with Mary. And this is what our God is asking of us. Do you want more? And all we say is fiat, and God goes, get out of my way. Let me fill you to the brim. So he says, okay, I love this part. He forms his little army for him. I mean, the devil is not going to have a chance. Now, in volume 15, what Jesus tells Louisa is, like your mother, Mary, you also will crush the evil one. Mary is going to kaput his head, and then you're going to put the final stamp on his head. So, for God having fun, he made Italy look like a boot and put Corrado where the heel is. You know, why is Italy like a boot? Well, God wants us to... Okay, what country looks like a boot, and where is Corrado? He just wants us to know. God has fun. So he's saying to it, you know, saying to the devil, go ahead. And if you remember the first martyrs, the 800 martyrs that Pope Francis canonized were in the heel of the extended heel of the boot. The Muslims came over and 800 men said, we will not give up our faith. And they were all beheaded. And when you go to the church down there, get ready to see 800 faces looking at you. It's the whole walls are filled with skulls. And these men, basically the church said, they saved Italy. because they were stopped. They stopped the Muslim crowd coming in. So what's happening today has been happening for a long time. I think we're going to see more, but we don't focus on the negative. We have to focus. The sign of the times that God is giving us is this great gift of the divine will. The sign of the times that God is giving us is the book of heaven. The sign of the times that God wants us to look at is Louisa. Because Jesus and Mary want this little newborn to be known. I mean, she's the little daughter of the king. So he says, again, little by little, God is going to teach us. And then he said, so I have done with you, Louisa, having chosen you, Louisa, in a special way to live in the height of my divine will. I, God, have instructed you, Louisa, little by little, making the divine will known to you, Louisa. And as I, God, kept making it known to you, Louisa, I, God, enlarged your capacity. I, God, prepared it for another greater knowledge. And every time I, God, manifested to you, Louisa, one value, one effect of my divine will, I, God, feel the greater contentment, and I will make the feast along with heaven. Okay, so here we have to, God has chosen Louisa to live the height of divine will. He has enlarged your capacity little by little. And that's what he says to us. As you read, your capacity is expanded. So St. Teresa says, if you open yourself up the size of a thimble, God will fill you. If you open yourself to the size of a bathtub, God will fill you. Well, with Louisa, Jesus says, hang on to Louisa and dive into the ocean of the divine will. It's infinite ocean of God's love. It's not just little bits that he gave to the saints. He wants us to enter into this life of God that God breathed into Adam. And so he's offering this to us. What he gave to Louisa, he says, I want to give to you. And there's no reason for it. There is no reason. He's just so in love with who he is and what he's doing that he's offering to us that which Louisa worked for. Again, Louisa was in bed for 64 years, not eating, drinking, or sleeping. We're not in bed for 64 years. She's done all the work. Now all that God is asking of us to do is to give our fiat so that he can reign in us. So he says, now as these truths of mine go out, you redouble my contentments and my feasts. Therefore, let me do it and you plunge yourself more into my divine will. It's the same thing. God says, let me do this. Let me reign. Let me be Lord of your life. Let me be King of your life. Let me give you royal vestments. Let me clothe you with divinity. Jesus says to Louisa, your human will is a rusty penny. And he says, I'm asking you, please, I'm pleading with you. He says that. A God pleading with us. Give me your rusty penny and I will fill you with divinity. I will fill you with divine things. I will fill you with billions of dollars. This is basically what divine things are. And we are saying to God, but if I give you my rusty penny, I won't have it anymore. We have to really read what Jesus is saying and accept his proposal. Accept his yes. And let the Lord bring you to his mansion. Let the Lord bring you to his palace. Let the Lord clothe you with divinity. Let the Lord give you what he's wanted to give mankind from the beginning. Again, that's the preternatural life of integrity, impassibility, immutability, and immortality. Our God wants us to possess him in his image and likeness. So I think that's very, very important. We'll stop there. Oh, I see the star. I just remembered. I put the stars on here because that was a very important one. There was a star on the last one too. Okay, great. So we'll do that the next time we come back, and I don't know what the next thing is. 5:30 supper. Okay, that gives us 45 minutes. Okay, great. So we'll end with a prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And be sure to put your email addresses down out here so that we can all get in contact with one another and with Father Bucci. Let's give him a hard time. These rounds. The devil knows his time is going to come to an end. As we read these volumes, we can see quickly, I mean, these rounds, we can see quickly that the devil's going to be overwhelmed. And I'll tell you honestly, I really don't know how much time we have to focus on this, because this is, I really believe it's the call to the angels to wage war against the demons. It reminds me of when I was a seminarian. A friend of mine, we went to the Vatican, and he always wanted to get into the papal archive and the papal gardens. And so he kept on talking about that. And when we got to the Vatican, and this was in 70, well, it was right after John Paul II was ordained. We climbed over the wall. We got into the Vatican, and I said, "What happens if we get caught? If we run into the Swiss Guard?" I said, "If we run into the Pope?" He goes, "What's wrong?" He says, "All I want to do is cook some hot dogs on this hibachi." And he pulls out this hibachi and these hot dogs, and we jump over the fence. We're in there, and I'm a nervous wreck, right? So he lights up the charcoal, and he pulls out the hot dogs, set them on there. All of a sudden, John Paul II is walking towards us, and he's praying his rosary. So he's walking towards us, and I go, "Oh my God!" So I run behind a tree, and I'm hiding behind a tree. Look, John Paul comes over, and he looks at my friend. He gives him a light, little blessing, and then walks away. Now I feel really bad. I miss the Pope. I miss his blessing. So I went up to him. I said, "Oh my! Well, what did the Pope say? He gave you a blessing. What did he do?" He says, "Well, he really didn't bless me. He says, I want you, the hibachi, and the guy behind the tree to get out of here." Now, that's a true story. It's true. Okay, so let's go to the bottom of page 17 on volume 13. This is very important. There are three things that Jesus says. The greatest gift that I gave to the Old Testament was the Transfiguration. And you think about that. What do you mean? How can this be the greatest gift that you gave to the Old Testament? Because you are on Tabor. And Jesus tells Louisa that Moses and Elijah showed up, and he fulfilled the Old Testament on Mount Tabor. Okay, so this is the greatest gift that they gave to the Old Testament. And then he said to Louisa, the greatest, so it's Transfiguration. So the outside radiant in God's divine light, the inside is Jesus, who he is, the Son of God. He says, the greatest gift I gave to the New Testament was transubstantiation. So that which looks like bread and tastes like bread on the outside is really the body, blood, soul, and divinity. It's God Almighty, worthy to be worshipped. And he says, now I've saved the best for last. He says, what I'm going to bring about is transmutation. And when I first read that word, I went, transmutation? What's God doing? And transmutation means this, that the outside of an element and the inside of the element can change into a completely new element. And that's what God's going to do with us. He's going to transmute us. So it's, you know, you hear the saints saying about, God is going to transform us. Well, he's going to do more than that. He's going to change us into a completely different thing that we see here today. We're going to be perfect, first of all. We're going to be like God. We're going to live the preternatural life. We're going to have the gift of, integrity, impassibility, immutability, and immortality. What God is going to give us is to be like he breathed into that dirt, breathed into Adam, a brand new image and likeness of God creature. This is what God's got planned. So I want to read this first part, because this is very important, that what Jesus is bringing is something that's new, but it's not a new revelation. This is what God gave to Adam. So it's the oldest gift. So this is what he says in volume 13, 11, 19, 21. But do you know who prevented the execution and sustained my holy humanity from dying? The first was my inseparable mama. In hearing me ask for help, she flew to my side and sustained me, and I leaned my right arm on her. Almost dying, I looked at her, and I found her in the immensity of my divine will, intact without ever a break between my divine will and hers. My divine will is life, and since the will of the Father was immovable, and death was coming to me from creatures, another creature, who was enclosed in the life of my divine will, gave me life. And here my mama, who in the portent of my divine will conceived me and gave me birth in time, now giving me life for a second time to let me accomplish the work of redemption. Okay, so here's the question that the apostles, James and John and his mother said, basically, who's going to sit at Jesus' right and left? Then I looked to my left and I found my little daughter of my divine will, Luisa Picaretta. I found you, Luisa, as the first, followed by the other daughters of my divine will. That's us. See, even men are in male in God is feminine. The soul is always feminine because, you know, God is going to marry everybody, male and female. Okay, so, and since I wanted my mama with me, the first link of mercy through which we were to open the doors to all creatures, I wanted to lean my right arm on Our Lady. And I wanted you, Luisa, as the first link of justice to prevent it from unloading itself upon all creatures as they deserve. Therefore, I wanted to lean my left arm on you, Luisa, so that you, Luisa, might sustain it together with me. With these two supports, I, God, felt life coming back to me, and as if I had not suffered anything. With a firm step, I went to meet my enemies. All the pains that I suffered during my passion, many of which were capable of giving me death, these two supports never left me. And when they saw me nearly dying, with my own divine will, which they contained, they sustained me. And as though giving me many sips of life, O prodigy of my divine will, who would ever count them and calculate their value? This is why I love so much the one who lives in my divine will. I recognize my portrait in her, my noble features, and I feel my own breath, my voices, as if I did not love her, I would defraud myself. So here Jesus is showing us about Luisa. Who sits at my right and my left? Jesus says, it's not me for to give, it is for my Father, it's been saved to do this. Now we know who's on Jesus. It's Jesus' right and Jesus' left. It's Our Lady on his right and Luisa on his left. Now, what's really spectacular about this is in the Old Testament, it was Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. In the New Testament, it's been Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And now for the new era that's coming, it's Jesus, Mary, and Luisa. And as we begin to understand this, you study who Luisa is, what you find is the three who suffered the most. Jesus suffered everything. The one next to Jesus who suffered everything was the Blessed Mother. She basically, as the church shows us, she co-redeemed with Christ. And now the third, why Luisa? What did she suffer? Well, when you read the volumes, you hear Jesus say to Luisa often, I crucify you again and again and again. And many times, now Father Bucci could tell you this, many times, Aunt Rosaria found Luisa covered in blood. Luisa had the invisible stigmata. She said, Jesus, don't let anybody see this. And yet, there were times when Aunt Rosaria would come into the room and the whole bed would be covered with blood, the whole floor would be covered with blood, and she'd be panicking and running out and grabbing cloths, grabbing towels, and running back into the room, and everything would be beautiful, like nothing had happened. But Jesus wanted Aunt Rosaria to record this for our benefit. Can you imagine? At 17 years old, Jesus said to Luisa, go to bed. There was nothing wrong with her. And she, in obedience, she went to bed and stayed there for 64 years. Not only that, she did not eat, drink, or sleep. I mean, the suffering that she went through was unbelievable. And this is the three who suffered the most, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. And what's really spectacular is as we get to know Jesus and Mary, we get to know who this little newborn is, Louisa Picaretta. As we fall in love with Jesus and Mary, they show us this little newborn, the little daughter of the divine will, Louisa Picaretta. The relic cards that you have are very, very important. When Louisa, when her cause comes up, and it's going to come up, we know this because in volume 13, November 8th, Jesus says that all generations will call you, Louisa, blessed. She's going to be blessed, Louisa. He doesn't say anything about her canonization, but he talks about her as blessed. Now, when the church, she needs to be venerable. That's coming soon. When she is named venerable, then she's going to be waiting to be blessed. Okay? The amount of miracles that are going to happen through Louisa Picaretta are going to astonish the world. You have one miracle for John Paul II. You have no miracles for John the 23rd. What is going to happen? Everybody's going to say, who is this Louisa Picaretta? As you pray to Louisa, this is why I said earlier, pray to Louisa, go to Louisa, plead with Louisa. Jesus wants us to know this little daughter of the divine will. Jesus wants us to know her. And this, Father Pucci has provided us with many relic cards, and the amount of miracles that are going to happen through Louisa is just, it's astonishing. Use the relic cards for anyone who is seriously ill. Use the relic cards for situations that are impossible. Use the relic cards and watch the power that God is going to manifest through this little newborn. Again, it's very, very important for you to understand that it's not by chance that you have these relics. Watch what God is going to do. I remember a number of times, the one girl that was dead, was dying, the doctor said there was nothing they could do. She had brain aneurysm, and there was nothing left. Just the touch of the relic of Louisa brought her back to life. A little baby who was starving to death, gray, the touch of the relic of Louisa brought that baby to full color, full life. Not only that, but when you read Father Pucci's book, he talks about this baby, this dead, cold, blue baby that was brought to Louisa by this woman. Threw the baby basically in Louisa's arms and collapsed to the floor weeping. That dead, cold, blue baby was brought back to life. Louisa held it and said, feed him, he's hungry. That was Father Pucci's older brother. So what we know is there are many, many miracles. There was many miracles. And that's why when Father Pucci brought up that, I mean, it's very close to Father Pucci's heart. When Father Nibale said to Louisa, raise me to life as you raise that little boy to life. And that's when Louisa went to Jesus, and Jesus said, no, you're not going to produce miracles, Louisa. It's not time for that, basically. You know, if you produce miracles, you're going to become a saint. I have greater plans for you than becoming a saint. So she went back to Father Nibale and said, I'm sorry, Jesus said no. And that was it. It was shortly after that he died. But why didn't God heal her? It's because God wants us to know Louisa in a way that is going to astonish the world. She's very, very, as you read, as a matter of fact, like I said, the titles that we have of Louisa in the 36 volumes is 241 pages single space. That's unbelievable what Jesus talks about when Jesus talks about Louisa. So again, God is going to show us things that's going to astonish us. And again, the closer you get to Louisa, the farther the devil flees. And why? Because his whole mission, his whole desire was to destroy God's plan. And when he went after the only woman without sin, thinking it was Eve, he says, I've destroyed God's plan. Yet God had a greater plan. The only woman without sin, conceived without sin, was Our Lady. Our Lady brought the redemption. And now 2,000 years later, God has breathed, if you want to say, this life into Louisa. And now he wants to give it to us. What's coming is so unbelievable that as you live in the divine will, the devil wants nothing to do with you. And why? Because he sees Jesus. Jesus is reigning in you. It's not a saintly life, a good life, or a holy life. It's Jesus' life. So this is why Father Bucci said today, you know, Louisa's unique. You can't find anything in any of the saints of what Jesus taught Louisa. And again, this is why the Vatican is looking at this and going, everything is perfect. Everything is truth. But where do we go from here? I mean, how do you teach people how to begin to live the life that Adam lost? How does the church begin to do this? This is something that's going to astonish the world. And so Jesus needs us to read, to study, and to put this into practice. You know, be peaceful. Your family doesn't want it. Your neighbors don't want it. Your coworkers don't want it. Your parishioners don't want it. Nobody wants this because they are happy with the way they're living, even in holy things. Yet Jesus is asking us to let go of everything, even holy things, so that he can give us divine things. I mean, how do we talk about Jesus saying, you say to that mountain, move, and it must move? Jesus really didn't mean that. You say to that sycamore, be uprooted and cast in the sea, and it must obey you if you have this much faith. Was Jesus just teasing Philip when he says, you feed the 5,000, Philip? No, he says, I want you to do divine things. When Peter walked on the water, he didn't say to Peter, great job, you walked 20 feet and then you began to sink. He said, why did you fail? Why did you falter? See, God is expecting us to do divine things. At Holy Mass, the priest every day does divine things. It's Jesus and the priest. This is my body. This is my blood. It's Jesus and the priest. I absolve you of all your sins. See, the Catholic Church knows this. I mean, we're ready for what God is going to do. And all that our Lord is asking of us is to read. And you make the contract with Jesus. You tell Jesus how many pages you're going to read a day. You say, Jesus, I'm going to read 3 pages a day. God says, fine. Let me see if you're going to read 3 pages a day. I mean, if you make a promise to God, you be faithful to it. You know, if you want to read 5 pages a day. One of the things that we have is the calendar. The calendar is everything that Jesus said on that day. So today, if you read the calendar, this is what Jesus said in volume 7. This is what Jesus said in volume 20. This is what Jesus said in volume 36. If you read the calendar, it's like 100 pages a week, 150 pages, 110 pages a week. You will read all 36 volumes in the year. You read them all. And that's what's so amazing. As you read the volumes, you understand. You look at your birthday. Why were you born that day? What is so important about the day that you were born? What is so important that the day that you were married? What is so important the day that you received First Holy Communion? What is important on the day that you were anointed? And you look and you read what's there, and it will astonish you. God wants to reveal to you divine secrets. This is what he said to Louisa. Secrets that he has told no saint. Why? Because Adam was supposed to teach this, and Adam failed. Jesus and Mary came to redeem mankind, and now 2,000 years later, Jesus says, I'm going to reveal to you what Adam was supposed to reveal to you. Why? So that you can go back to the place that you were supposed to live. We're supposed to live the abundant life. That's why Jesus says, I'm going to go away and prepare a place for you. What's really amazing is when you look at the wedding ceremony of the Jewish nation. The man, when he finds a bride, when he finds the one that he wants to marry, makes a contract with the father, goes and sits down with the woman to be, his wife to be, and drinks a glass of wine and sets it in front of her. And if she drinks the glass of wine, he stands up and he says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. See, Jesus, again, like I said before, Jesus wants to marry us. God came to earth to find a bride. He's coming to marry his church collectively, but also individually. So he proposes to us, and he says basically that he wants us to be one with him. And that's what's so important. This is what the divine will is. You have to begin with a mystical marriage. That's volume 2, very first day, February 28th, 1899. Jesus says, or to Louisa tells us, that you must begin with a mystical marriage. Now, like I said before, none of us are even close to having the mystical marriage. It's for the greatest saints that have ever lived. Yet Jesus tells Louisa, this is where you have to begin. If we link ourselves to Louisa, what she possesses, we possess. This is why Jesus says, go to Louisa. That's why I say, pray to Louisa, plead with Louisa. You know, God is going to prepare a place. And what the Jewish man would do is he would go to his father's house because his father knew how to build the wedding chamber. And the father, only the father, this is the secret, only the father knew when the wedding chamber was complete. And then he could say to his son, go back, get your bride. Now the bride at that time would wait with a candle lit, the oil lamp. They'd wait for the groom. And when the groom came back, the best man was always with the groom, blowing the trumpet, saying the bridegroom is coming. Do you understand? The Lord wants to be one with us, way beyond what we could ever imagine. What the Lord wants to bring about is this kiss between heaven and earth. God wants to bring about the promise that he gave to Abraham. The promise to Abraham was threefold. We pray it every morning in morning prayer. Freed from the enemy. That's what happened. When Jesus died on the cross, we were freed from the enemy. We were free to worship God without fear. And that's what we receive in the Blessed Sacrament. That is holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth. And none of us are terrified. It's God Almighty that becomes our nourishment, our food. And the third gift is to become holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. That is the divine will. This is what God wants to bring about. It's a new heavens and a new earth that the saints only dreamed of. This is what God is going to bring to us. And again, I can tell you very clearly, as you begin to read this, God isn't going to need many. But as you begin to read this, everything's going to be put in order. And as Jesus told Louisa, the majority of humanity will be gone. The devil is going to be very angry of what's coming. He's completely humiliated because God wins. So he's going to try to wipe out as many people as he can. But Jesus said, the souls live in the divine will, and hopefully that's us. The chastisement will have little or no effect upon us. That's God's promise. Remember, it will happen like in the days of Noah. Okay, Noah and his family did not get wet. And in Genesis 6, it said that Noah was the only pure line, if you want to say, back to Adam and Eve. They had a pure line. They didn't interbreed with the Nephilim, whatever that is. But God said, I've got to start over. Now here, the new Adam and the new Eve, okay, we have to have a pure line to the new Adam and the new Eve. Who is that pure line? It's Louisa. She has the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. That's why when we connect to Louisa, we fall more in love with Jesus. We fall more in love with Mary. But when we begin to live this life, there is nothing to worry about. Nothing. What we know is that God promises us that family, that little family of Louisa, will be the ones to survive. Why? Because we have to live the life that Adam lost. And the devil's going to try his darndest to destroy everything. So there's very little time, number one. How do we know there's little time? Again, look at the signs. But the greatest sign is the book of heaven. Because Jesus says that he saved the greatest gift for the worst of times. And those souls that really read this are going to get through what's coming. So don't worry about anything. What God is asking is that you focus on this gift. So let's continue. Okay, I think we're halfway down. Second paragraph top. First line. Okay, then I looked to my left and I found the little daughter, Louisa Picaretta of my divine will. And I found you, Louisa, the first, followed by the second, by the other daughters. Okay, that's us. Okay, we read that part. Let's see. With these two supports, I felt life coming back to me. And if I had suffered anything, with the first step I went to meet my enemies and all the pains that I suffered during my passion, many of which were capable of giving me death. These two supports, Our Lady and Louisa, never left me. Did we read that? We read all the way down to the bottom. Pardon? I hate it when I stop. Okay. Oh, prodigies of my divine will. Should I start there? Okay. Who can ever count them and calculate their value? This is why I love so much the one who lives in my divine will. I recognize my portrait in her, my noble features. I feel my own breath, my voice. And if I did not love her, I would defraud myself. I would be like a father without offspring, like without the noble cortege of his court, without the crown of his children. And if I did not have the offspring, the court, and the crown, how could I call myself a king? My kingdom is formed by those who live in my divine will. And from this kingdom, I choose my mother. I choose the queen. I choose the children. I choose the ministers. I choose the army. I choose the people. I am everything for them. And they are all for me. As you read this, as you study this, doors are going to open. As you read this, as you study this, your life can never be the same. You will enter into this peace, joy, and happiness that nobody can take from you. Volume 13, 12, 3, 21. Now, living my divine will is not only salvation, but is sanctity, which must rise over all the other sanctities. Okay, all other sanctities that the saints had. And therefore must carry the seal of the sanctity of a God. Therefore, minor sanctities were to come first, as cortege bearers and messengers in preparations for this sanctity, which is fully divine. And just as in the redemption I chose my incomparable mother as the link and of connection with me, from which the fruits of redemption had to descend, now I chose you, Louisa, as the link of connection from which the sanctity of living at my divine will was to have its beginning, a sanctity which coming out from my divine will to bring me the complete glory and of the purpose for which man was created. Okay, so Jesus is doing this to reveal his purpose. Why were we created? To enter into this divine will. Which would make man come back along the same steps of my divine will in order to return to his God, to his Creator. What is your wondering then? These are things established from eternity, and no one will be able to move them. Since this thing, the divine will, is great, establishing my kingdom in the soul on earth, I acted like a king who had take possession of a kingdom. He does not go there first. First, he has his royal palace prepared, and he sends his soldiers to prepare the kingdom and dispose the peoples to his subjection, and then follows the guards of honor and the ministers. The last one is the king. This is decorous for a king. So I did. I had my royal palace prepared, which is the church. The soldiers have been the saints in order to make me known to the other peoples. Then came the saints to sow miracles as my most intimate ministers. And now I come, I myself come to reign as the king. That's exactly what Jesus said to St. Faustina. I give you divine mercy, the last of my devotions, before I return. Therefore, I had to choose the soul in whom to establish my first dwelling, in whom to found this kingdom of my divine will. So let me reign and give me full freedom. God is going to do this. And all that he asks of us is to just give our fiat. Our Lady said fiat, fiat mihi, and then God did 100% of the work. It's the same thing here. You give your fiat and watch God work. He is the one that's going to lead you, guide you, direct you. You know, he is the one that needs you to ask him, what do I do? And then step back. Lord, show me what to do. I had a friend of mine. He had a business. And he says, well, I just bought a new business. I think it was $6 million. I think he bought. And he says, what do I do? I said, give it to Jesus. Let him be the CEO. Let him take care of everything. And he said, okay. He sold it for $64 million. Jesus was tired of the business. I'm not kidding you. It's when you let God be in charge, he is in charge. And there were times when he would call me and he would say, well, I think this, 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 and this. What should I do? I said, you just give it to Jesus and he'll show you. You know, weeks would go by. I have to find out now. What do I do? This, this, or this? I said, give it to Jesus and he will show you. See, God wants us to trust in him, believe in that. Now, that's just a business. That's meaningless. He looks at our souls as the greatest treasure. The souls of your family, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, your parishioners. He looks at the souls of all people, past, present, and future, the greatest treasure. And what he needs us to do is to say to Jesus, Lord, may your kingdom come in me and in them. May your will be done in me and in them. May you establish your peace, your love, your joy in me and in them. See, Jesus says they can't live in the divine will at this point. Their human wills are so strong. And what he's asking of us to do is to just give our fiat and let him do. Let him reign. It's the greatest thing in the world to let God win. And then he gets in competition with you. He gives you an I love you and you give him an I love you. It's his I love you, your I love you with each breath. His I love you, your I love you, with each heartbeat. His I love you, your I love you, with every step that you take. See, God is beginning to change everything. And it's going to happen. And he needs us to give our fiat. So we'll end there. Okay. And like it says here, let me reign, give me full freedom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints. Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.